The board of directors of the corporation met, or has been meeting. We met yesterday and sat down and tried to put together some objectives for the organization, taking a look at the responsibilities that have been placed on the native people as a result of the land claim settlement. And we came up with four major priorities for the organization for a recommendation presentation to you. The first of these, I think you have copies of the priorities. Number one was the retirement of all current debts of AFN Inc. We divided those into two categories: a priority on all those loans incurred during the land claims effort, and other indebtedness that we have accumulated in the past and since the Claims Act was signed. Number two was the development of administrative policies for AFN Inc. Number three, assistance to regional corporations in implementation of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. We divided this into five other categories. Number one, assistance of attorney in Washington, D.C. lobby effort. We need to clarify amongst the regional groups that have attorneys down there just what approach we're going to use in pursuing our future lobbying efforts. B, assistance in land selection and withdrawals. C, assistance in the area of financial investments and in the entire scope of finances. D, legislative liaison and monitoring both in Congress and at the state level. And E, coordination of regional training and priority programs. Number four, socioeconomic programs to benefit Native people. A, research into the needs. These are areas such as health and education that affect all of us and will, in fact, affect the plans of all of the regional corporations in the state and the villages. B, examination of availability of such programs. C, obtaining grants and other funding to administer self-supporting programs. D, assist in developing new government programs to benefit Native people. E, developing ways to minimize use of Alaska Native Claim Settlement Funds to replace government obligations while still fulfilling socioeconomic needs of Alaska Native people. And five, assist in training Native people in these categories, working with the regions through coordinated efforts to develop human resources and development management skills for utilization of Claims Act benefits. As you know, we have a very, very serious demand placed on the Native people just simply in the administration of the Act, both at the regional level and at the village level. B, work with state and national labor employers and government officials to ensure increased training and employment of Alaska Native people. As you know, we have accumulated quite a few different programs in the organization, sort of a topsy-turvy kind of approach. We've had everything from nutritional assistance to on-the-job training to education, health, just about everything that we could find that had some possibility of some overhead for the organization. But I think it's necessary for us now to look at some priorities. We'll now give the presentation that has been developed and try to give a picture of what it is that really is on the shoulders of all of you people.
While these books are being distributed, I'd like to bring to the attention of the convention that this is a project that's been worked on for some time, ever since the passage of the Native Land Claims Act by the Alaska Federation of Natives Incorporated and consultants. The final product is put together by the Boeing Company, and I think it does a pretty good job of outlining the goals and objectives for the future course of action of the Alaska Federation of Natives. So I would hope that you would study it very carefully, and I think that some of the recommendations are very good in that publication.
As you know, the Alaska Federation of Natives was organized in 1966, and some of our objectives were, as you see here, to promote pride, preserve the customs of the people, discourage and overcome prejudice, promote health, physical, economic, and social well-being of the Native people. And these are some of the programs that we have accumulated over time. Our biggest program, of course, is our health affairs program for the Yukon-Kuskokwim area and the Norton Sound area, and also assisting in other regions to set up health programs. The Settlement Act that took about 6 years to achieve provides for institutions to deal with our problems. We have now organizations that are in concrete virtually in the law that we have to deal with. We're not quite as flexible as we used to be because of these institutions, these corporations. We have an opportunity to control our own destiny to some degree because of these organizations. We are in a better position to participate in local and national affairs, also to develop our people to the fullest of our capabilities. We will have funds that the people will be called upon to invest, and we will have title to land and natural resources to develop a strong and stable economy where we do not have any now. However, this Settlement Act, which is about as good as we could do under the circumstances and prevailing at the time that the Act was passed, it has some serious problems involved in it. For one thing, there's a specific provision that will not allow any of the funds to be utilized for political activity. Now, if this was a provision that applied to all corporations, you know, we might be able to stomach it, but are we not, just like any other citizens, should it not be possible for us to protect our interests? And I think this is a problem area. We will continue to have to be involved in politics in order to protect the settlement. We have called for, in the Settlement Act, the creation of at least 200 corporations. And all of these organizations will have to have staffs of some sort. They have to have managers, they'll have to have accountants, they'll have to have experts in various fields, and this will cost a great deal of money. Just simply the duplication of effort, such as what I was describing earlier in terms of our legal efforts, in terms of accounting and this sort of thing. According to the Act, a great bulk of the money, if Congress acts as it should and appropriates the amount of money that it indicates that it would, a great portion of the funds will initially come in a great rush in the first few years, according to the Settlement Act. So we will have to have in mind plans to utilize the funds so that they will go to work for you instead of being eaten up by inflation. One half of the dollar settlement is unsure. That is, half of that money is going to have to come out of the natural resources, 2%, that 2% override. And it's uncertain at this stage exactly when that money is going to start flowing into the native corporations. It will have to be dependent on development of the natural resources. In short, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline and oil production. We have a limited amount of expert and professional and financial help, yet the Act calls for auditors, you know, nationally known auditors, you know, to audit our books, you know, and we're also having a real problem already in the regions in finding capable Native people who can actually handle the operations of these corporations. We have an unfamiliar corporate structure. You know, how many of us have been involved in corporations? Yet here we are being called upon to begin to understand what corporations are all about, how they work, what stockholders are, what the rights of the stockholders are, what the obligations of the boards of directors are, and of the staffs. In fact, the legislation indicates that in 20 years, this stock, all of the Native people in the state who own stock, that stock will become alienable. That means it can be bought and it can be sold. In fact, it reminds me of the Indian Allotment Act that was passed in the 1880s in the states of Oklahoma and other places where tribal lands were subdivided into 160-acre sections. They were given a kind of a deed that, well, not exactly a deed, but it was a it was to be held in trust for 20 years until they became familiar with the idea of private holdings. Well, after the end of 20 years, it became alienable, and they lost millions upon millions of acres. And this is a definite possibility with respect to our stock if it becomes alienable in 20 years, as the Act says. So we have 20 years to really put this thing together and see that we can hold it together. We have relationships between regions, boroughs, villages, and stockholders are poorly defined. As you know, the Congress, rather than giving all powers of governing and also of business into one corporation such as the IRA, the Act separates it into Alaskan municipalities. The municipalities under state law carry on the governing functions, and it gave to the regions business powers primarily, not governmental, just profit-making and non-profit corporate powers. We have moved practically from a subsistence economy where we were hunting and fishing into a high-powered corporate world where certain disciplines are required, and whether we measure up to this remains to be seen. We have responsibilities to stockholders, both legal and moral. We have to make a profit under these profit corporations. We have to have information available to all the stockholders in annual report. We have management requirements, both legal requirements. We have to have adequate bookkeeping, audits. We have to have proper corporate records. We have contracts that have to be in proper order. We have to have business continuity. We have to know what we're going to be doing. In fact, we have to know what our goals and objectives are and have some plans. We have to be aware of our needs for financing the various ventures that we may be going into under the Claims Act. We have other operational responsibilities of product selection, personnel production, facilities acquisition, raw materials, sales, distribution. And all of the corporations, even in the last 6 months, to some degree, have been involved in these various activities. As you can see, the Land Claim Settlement Act does place a substantial amount of responsibility on the Native people, on the people in the regions, on the people in the villages. And as you well know, there was no provision in the Act itself for a statewide organization. There were various proposals in the Act, or at least in the process of legislation, but in the final analysis, there was no provision for a central organization. But the fact of the matter is that the settlement itself would not have been possible had it not been for the fact that we did have a statewide organization. However faultily it had been organized, it was the organization that was able to push through the settlement itself. Now, as far as I'm concerned, from experience in lobbying on the Claims Act itself and having been down there just recently seeking an amendment that will allow us to pay our debts, it is absolutely necessary that we have some sort of statewide organization to keep on top of these things. And it's going to mean that in order for this organization to function and do the job, it's going to have support from the regional organizations. That's all there is to it. And I'm hoping that it's going to be possible for the people in the regions and the regional leadership to see that it's going to take substantial cooperation and commitment to ensure that we are on top of all of the influences that will affect the implementation of the claim settlement. In some respects, I think Don is right. There are what is unwritten in the Act itself is it's possible that this whole Act was designed for failure. And It's going to take some real skill to ensure that that the lands are retained, that the funds are retained, that the funds are made to work for the people, and that, 50 years from now or 100 years from now, that there will be something left over for your descendants. Thank you very much.
The chair would like to note the presence of Senator Ted Stevens. Senator Stevens, welcome.
Well, I don't have any prepared remarks to make to you. I think that the best thing that I might do is give you a brief report of the situation in Washington as I see it, as far as some of the things you're interested in, and then see if you have any questions that I might try to answer. I think the Congress responded to the request that we have made for the changes that were necessary to make the land claims settlement work. I'm sure you know that the Appropriations Committee, at my request, made available the advance of up to $500,000 to each regional corporation to commence the work under the Land Claims Act. The House has been a little difficult with that language. Every time we write an amendment, they have to rewrite it. But in any event, we have secured approval of these amendments. It's been the Senate Appropriations Committee where we've started with these amendments. That was the first one was the rider to the first appropriation under the Land Claims Act. We then added another $1 million to that so that if there were any programs that had to be carried on that could not be met within the $500,000, that there's another $1 million discretionary advance monies under a second amendment that was approved. And I'm sure you know that just before we adjourned, the Senate, at my request, after discussing with both Don and Willie the problem of the AFN debt, as approved an amendment that I worked out that will permit the regional corporations to loan money to or guarantee the AFN debt if they so desire to do so. The amendment that passed the Senate actually would have allowed the repayment of the debt, but because of some technicalities concerning the organization of the regional corporations, technicalities I don't happen to agree with, but which were raised along the line, we agreed in conference to a modification of that amendment, and it is now possible for the regional corporations to either loan money to the AFN or to guarantee the loans made by the AFN. I think there will be other problems that will arise in the future that must be dealt with in a similar fashion, although I'm quite hopeful that the timing that's set up by the Act that requires the completion of the enrollment and will lead to the formation of the corporations on a absolutely permanent basis and will lead to distribution of the monies from the Land Claim Settlement Fund, that period will be the minimum period prescribed by the law, and we will not have to have these amendments of this type in the future. But I think there will be other matters that have to be dealt with, dealing with not only some of the land problems, but also some of the organizational problems. I would like to again point out one thing, and then I would like to see if you have any questions. And that is, I urge you to look at the land claims bill and to see the philosophy that was involved in the settlement that I think was a good one. I hope you agree was a good one. The regional corporations basically are organized, will be receiving 50% approximately of the funds of the settlement. And really, they're organized for the purpose of investing those funds, conducting their operations on a profit basis, so that the next generation and the generations that come after that of the Alaska Native people will have a benefit from this settlement. 50% of the money will go directly through the regional corporations to the village corporations for utilization as they see fit, or to on a per capita basis in some instances with regard to people in urban areas. But as a practical matter, I think many of the people I've talked with have asked me, why was it? Why really is the was the mechanism of the regional corporation the one accepted by Congress? And in my opinion, it was done so that we could prevent here in Alaska what we listen to so often from people who are now the succeeding generations of those who had settlements for land claims in the past, and that those the monies that were received by other organizations were rapidly dissipated, were not invested, were not properly managed, and the second and third generation that comes after them are in a worse position than their forefathers were at the time of their settlement. And I urge you to keep in mind, as you work through your regional corporations, through the AFN, and through all of the processes that you are going to use to make this settlement work, I urge you to keep in mind that the investment of those monies by the regional corporations must be on a profit-making basis, so that the future generations will have a direct interest in this settlement, and so that it will not be just something that occurs and benefits those who are here and those who are the direct first beneficiaries of the land claim settlement. It is possible you're going to have a tremendous amount of investment capital. It is possible to participate and to have these investments made so they'll be job creating, at the same time preserve that money for future generations. And I, for one, hope that you'll keep that foremost in your mind as you deal with the regional corporations and as you deal with the investments they make. Those are not investments just for social betterment. They're investments so that that money will be preserved. The monies that are in the treasuries of the regional corporations will be preserved and will not be dwindled away as the period as the time passes, because I'm sure you'll remember that the stock itself is not transferable for 20 years, and that again was done directly to tie in with the concept that another generation ought to be involved in the management of this money. And I know I hope you agree with that philosophy, and I know it's very possible to do.